When you get established in love, you are establishing yourself in God. Hallelujah. Number three. Love doesn't hurt his neighbor. The scripture says, owe no man anything but to love him. That means, I looked that word owe up, and it means to obligate. He said, don't obligate yourself. The Amplified Bible says, don't go in debt. But he does say this. It says, obligate yourself to love other people. That's the only debt that I owe, is that I owe everybody I meet love. So I'm going to obligate myself to walk in love. I'm obligated to do it because I have a command from God. I'm obligated. I'm obligated to love you whether you deserve it or not. Have nothing to do with it. Had nothing to do with it. I'm obligated to show you love because I have a command from my Father that that's the way I'm supposed to live. The third way is this here, that you perfect the love of God is through your personal devotion with the Lord. 1 John 4:16-18. I'm closing this scripture. 1 John 4:16-18 says this. Listen to this. The Amplified says, and we know, we understand, we recognize, we're conscious of, by observation and by experience, and we believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. So what he says, we know and believe the love God has for us. We know it, we believe in it, we have faith in it. We rely on this love. So you got to get to a place where you rely on it. Amen, where you trust in it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, God is love. And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. In this, listen to this, in this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. Glory to God. Means I'm just like him. Amen. He said, listen, when you get perfected in love, he said, when judgment day comes, you won't have any fear when you stand before him. Because if you get rooted and grounded in love, you will look and resemble who he is. You look just like him. If you get rooted and grounded in love, when you see him, all you will see is a reflection of yourself. No fear there. I ain't scared of my own reflection. And the reflection that I'll have at that day is a reflection of him. I'll look just like him because as he is, so am I in this world. When I get rooted and grounded in love, it will make me look just like Jesus. And when the day of judgment comes, I'm not going to be scared because I look just like him. And not only that, because I know him. People that don't really know him, don't get established in love, don't really know him. Because the Bible says that if you don't love your brother, you don't know God. Did you know the Bible said that? It said if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love one another, then you don't know God. You cannot know God, have intimate knowledge of him without walking in love, getting rooted and grounded in it. You see why the devil been fighting us so long on this love walk? Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. There's no dread. Dread does not exist. But full grown, listen to this, but full grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. If you have fear in your life, that means you got love missing somewhere. You see that? Because perfect love, complete love, drives it out, expels it, kicks it out. Hallelujah. So the third way that God perfects his love in me is through my personal devotion with him. So I had to spend time in prayer. I had to spend time in the word. I had to spend time talking to him. I have to want to know him. See, Paul said, my one desire. What was Paul's one desire? He said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. being made conformable unto his death, even death of the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to have a desire to know him. Hallelujah. So you got to obey him. You got to spend time with him. And then you got to practice loving other people. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of y'all got it? How many of y'all desire this? How many are going to let him say, God, go ahead, work that love in me? Because when you start walking in love, he starts bringing completion into your life. He starts adding to you what is missing in your character, in your personality, in what you need to be more like him. Praise God. What's number one? Obedience to the word causes the love of God to be perfected in us. What's number two? Practicing the love of God perfects the love of God in us. And number three, personal devotion with him, getting to know him intimately, spending time with him, perfects the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's number one again?
Obedience.
Obedience. Obedience to the word causes the love of God to be perfected in us. Scripture's right there, plain and clear. Number two. What's number two? You got to practice the love of God on the people that's around you. You say, well, I don't have nobody around me. There's somebody around you that you can practice love. You can look for somebody that you can help, that you can serve. The scriptures say, by love, serve one another. That means look for somebody to encourage. Look for somebody you can meet a need.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
You'll turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 13. Psalms number 13. And there aren't but six verses. And we're going to look at all six of them briefly. Psalm number 13, verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, say amen. 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 Read it.
Psalms 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Verse 4. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, how to turn problems into praise. How to turn problems into praise. Now keep in mind, this is King David speaking. And may I suggest to you, if the king's got problems, then not many of us are above the king, and therefore would have to experience troubles and problems and issues in this life as well. And it would be helpful for us to see how he handled his problems. One of the things I've always heard from the old saints is, you don't question God. But as I began to read the word and search the scriptures, there are many believers who have questioned what God was doing. And many times the questions come because God has either hid his face or hid his plans from our knowledge. And because we don't know what he is doing, sometimes what's being done does not seem like it's of God. And one of the things the believer has got to know, got to understand, is that God loves us more than we love ourselves. And that he knows our limitations, he knows our abilities, and he knows what we can handle. And God knows that it's against his word to put more on us than we can bear. So when we know this, why then do we still question God when problems arise that seem like they're going to take us out? Well, may I suggest to you, one, that it is human nature. Human nature. You see, we are not made of all spirit. We are made of dust as well as spirit. And we've got to deal with the dust. That's the humanity. That's the human side of man. The spiritual side has more to do with that part that's like God. And so we've got to recognize that as believers in this world, we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have illnesses, we're going to have issues, we're going to have to deal with some of what everybody else deals with. Just because we're saved don't mean that we're exempt. As a matter of fact, God wants us to know, because we are saved, we're going to go through some things that the people in the world at this point won't go through. Because we belong to God, and God has allowed the enemy to have lease of this world. And so therefore, anything that the enemy does, he has to get permission from God when it comes to us. And if he has to get permission from God when it comes to us, then that means very simply that God won't permit him to do anything we can't handle. But here is the king. Here is the king asking the Lord four questions. I mean, rapid fire. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. First, he asked God, how long will you forget about me, O Lord? That's a two-part question. The first part, A, how long will you forget about me, O Lord, is the first part. The second part, B, is forever? Forever? What we need to realize is this question comes out of exaggeration. Exaggeration. Whenever you've been going through something for a long time, it's amazing how time has an ability, or your perception of time has the ability to shift in your mind. And a moment can seem like a minute. And a minute can seem like an hour. And an hour can seem like a day. And a day can seem like a week. A week can seem like a month, and a month can seem like a year, and a year can seem like a decade in your mind. And so as a result of that, everything that happens in that time is exaggerated. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. But you hid from me. Question two, how long will you hide your face from me? How long? Now, this was exasperation. This comes from exasperation. He's frustrated. He's upset. And it doesn't make sense for us to sit here and act all holier than thou and act like there are times we don't get like this with God as well. All right. That God doesn't show up when we want him to. We talk to him and it doesn't seem like he's talking back. Doesn't even seem like he's hearing or listening to us. We're calling out to him. We don't know what to do, and we're crying to the top of our voices, Lord, help me. Lord, show up. Lord, fix it. Lord, do it. And we have no sense of God's presence. And we become exasperated with that, wondering, how long are you going to hide your face from me? Your child, the one who stands up and believes you and witnesses for you and share and show folk the goodness of God in my life for you. And you seem to have forsaken me when I've needed you the most. Exasperation. When he speaks this question, how long will you hide your face from me? But then in the third question, in the second verse, he asks, how long shall he take counsel with his soul, having sorrow fill his heart daily? This is evaluation. He's evaluating. How long am I going to have to talk to myself? Because there is no one to talk to. How long am I going to have to try and reason this thing out and encourage myself? How long am I going to have to try and figure this out and hope that it works for the best? How long am I going to be here trying to give myself encouragement that I can't give myself? And my heart is filled with sorrow daily. All right. It's all right to feel sorrow every now and then, but can you imagine every day you wake up, your heart is filled with sorrow? All right. It's hard to encourage yourself when your heart is filled with nothing but sorrow. And so when David speaks here, it's impossible for him to get a breakthrough under these circumstances. But if he don't encourage himself the best he can, then how will he make it? Because God seems to be far from him. And then the last question is, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? The king you put in place, me, the man after your own heart, me, the one who loves you and worships you and share and shows the kingdom, your goodness, how can you let the enemy be exalted over me? And this question is filled, listen, with evaluation based on an erroneous expectation of exaltation. It isn't really so that his enemies are exalted over him. It just feels like that. And my brothers and sisters, you can be down so low that it feels like the enemy who is beneath you must be over you. And David feels like this because he can't figure out how the enemy has the ability to reign over him while he's going through all this is in his mind now. But how many of you know your mind, it can make everything seem like it's real? And just because you saved don't mean that you won't suffer. Just because you saved don't mean you won't have no sorrows. Just because you're saved don't mean that you won't have enemies who are trying to move you out of your place and take control over what God has blessed you with. And the enemy himself wants to do you in. David was well aware of that. But then that last question also was filled with estimation. How long, how long, how long, how long, how long? And so the first thing we see is that he registers his complaint in a petition. Now this is important for us because you need to know how to deal with your issues in the court of God. In other words, if you've got a complaint, you've got to know how to register your complaint. You've got to know how to put it in petition form. David helps us here because one of the things you need to know is though God knows what's going on with you, he asks you to talk to him. To ask him or to tell him what you want. He sees it. He knows it. But sometimes God steps back from you to see how you're going to act in terms of trusting him when you can't see him or when you can't touch him or when you can't feel him. Is it only extemporaneously or is it internal and it is eternal on the inside of you? God will take care of me. Don't care what it looks like, don't care what it feels like. I believe it, I know it, and he's going to demonstrate it. But every now and then, our problems seem to perplex us and overwhelms us. But here's what we got to learn how to do. Have a little talk with God. Tell him all about our troubles. Make it clear to him, listen, God, this is how I feel. I could be wrong, but I just want to register my complaint. Now, listen, once you've registered your complaint, then you need to learn how to put it to the side. David didn't keep, he only dealt with his complaint for two verses. And then he moves on to prayer. Verses 3 and 4 deals with prayer. Rita, read it.
Verse 3, consider and hear me.
Now, what do you think he means when he says consider and hear me, but praying to God? God, I'm talking to you now. This is, I'm through registering my complaints. I'm talking to you now from my heart. Go ahead now.
Oh, Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
All right, hold up right there. Lighten my eyes. One translation says, put a sparkle in my eye. Put some pep in my step. put some joy in my heart. Put a song on my lips. God, lift me up, because if you do not do that, in other words, you need to show me something more than I'm looking at right now. And do you know, David was really saying, listen, I'm going into a depression. God, if you don't help me out of this depression, I'm going to just sleep my life away. It makes better sense for me to just sleep my life away than to get up every morning with my heart filled with sorrow and don't see an answer and don't see a way and don't feel your presence and don't see how you're going to step in and make this thing right. Listen, David is praying now to the Lord because he wants God to know. He understands prayer, communication with God, and it's personal. Start over again, verse 3.
Consider mm-hmm. and hear me, mm-hmm. O Lord my God. Mm-hmm. Lighten mine eyes, mm-hmm. lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Continue.
Verse 4. Lest mine enemies say, mm-hmm. I have prevailed against him. Mm-hmm. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved.
Now listen at this. He said, God, if you don't step up and do something about this situation, lest mine enemies, lest my foes, lest those frenemies of mine, do what? For thinking that they prevail against me. Oh, you're supposed to be God's king. You're supposed to be God's man. You're supposed to be Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. You're supposed to be all of that, but look at you now. And I want to just throw this out for free. I don't care how high you go, every now and then you fall down low. I don't care how God has blessed you. I don't care how God has elevated you. I don't care how God has raised you. Every now and then you fall down low. And so when you get to that point, you've got to know what to do. Because the enemies are going to rejoice that you've been moved. You've lost your position. You've lost your power. You've lost your privileges. But the devil is a liar. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. You need to tell somebody, hold on. Hallelujah. You need to tell somebody, hold on, because help is on the way. And when you have made that emergency mayday call to God, you've got to know this isn't the first time you've been in a position like this. The scenery might be different, but the situation is the same. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I've been here before. I said, I've been here before. All right. So now, look. He pleads his case in prayer. Paul says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? God, not man. I want to ask you to just check your Bible right quick. Ain't but 6 verses. Do you hear him talking to man here or to God? When he complained, did you hear him talking to man or to God? And when he's praying, do you hear him talking to man or to God? Somebody ought to hear me today. You need to stop telling you whomever it may be all your problems and take your problems and your burdens and your issues to the one who can do something about them. everything David had to say, good and or bad,